Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we'll give you a feel for this week's Fan Fest and the start of spring training, both coming up this weekend.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us this Tuesday, February 17th. Pitchers and catchers have their first formal workout in 6 days. Fan Fest is Saturday, so let's begin there.
Time to check out the Community Corner and see what the Rays are doing in the community.
We continue our latest podcast, and joining us now is Eric Weisberg. He's Director of Customer Service and Stadium Experience for the Rays, and obviously a big part of that experience is Fan Fest, which is coming up this Saturday. So, Eric, give our fans an idea, first of all, when does the planning begin for Fan Fest of a given year?
We really start planning soon after the Fan Fest is over. We really start thinking, what can we do to improve? We start talking to a lot of fans. We do a lot of focus groups once the season concludes and really gets going probably in that November, December timeframe. Once we come back from the break, we really get going. And we have about a 6-week window to really nail things down.
So give our fans an idea for the first time person who's coming or for the newcomer. What makes Fan Fest special in your mind?
We have such a unique and rare opportunity that you can see the players and interact with players in ways that you never really ever thought possible. Most fans, you come here, you come watch them play, you're sitting in your seat, and in this type of sense, in this setting, you get to play ping pong against Evan Longoria. You get to have Jake McGee call one of your friends during a phone a friend. Just a really different type of opportunities that you won't be able to get anywhere else, and it's all free.
You hit on the key point. Parking is free. Entry is free. In fact, you have, since Fan Fest is 44 days before the opener of the season, you've got 44 free events that everyone should go to.
That is right. And we really wanted to stress all the free things there are to do. And so we have coaching clinics with Brian Anderson and Arestis. We have wonderful autograph opportunities for kids 14 and under. We have over 35 MLB alumni signing for free. You can play wiffle ball and hit a home run off one of your favorite Rays players. We have a really unique presence on the stage this year. We've actually doubled our programming to have panels with all the broadcasters. Ken Rosenthal from Fox Sports, Brian Ald, who's our team president, Matt Silverman, who's our president of baseball operations, and really excited as well to introduce James Click, who really heads up our research, to talk about sabermetrics, the Rays way.
Really unique opportunity for our fans. And, you know, as we say, you want to create memories through the magic of baseball. And really the connection, though, with the players is probably the memory that's going to stick for a lot of them. What are some of the unique games that some of the players are going to be playing on the field with the Rays fans?
Sure. We've always traditionally had a wiffle ball home run derby, a speed pitch, a batting cage, but we've also added a rollerball, a whack-a-mole, a pop-a shot. We have a dance floor. But we've also added this year a new tailgate games area. So it includes a few ping pong tables and includes a 6-foot operation table, like the old style game, as well as a 4-foot high game of Battleship, giant Jenga and Connect Four, those types of games as well. But we're really excited about just these different unique ways to just play games with the fans. And the players really love this opportunity.
And they say a picture is worth 1,000 words. You know, in some ways, a picture of your child doing something like that with a player may be worth a whole lot more years from now than the autograph because of the experience they had.
You know, we really are out here to create major league memories, and the opportunities, and I know I keep on going back to that word, for just players are mingling. They are walking around, making sure that you actually have your camera ready. You just don't know when you're going to run into them. I had many experiences with Chris Archer last year, just walking around, just going up and just talking to people. And it really just was, wow, there he is. And it really is great. And it's just memorable experiences, these kids. But really, it's also about the parents who are able to see the smiles on their faces.
And I guess this year, more than any other, with all the change on the roster, it's a great chance for fans to connect with the new players and on a very personal level, get to know them in a certain way.
Absolutely. And you know, we're going to be 44 days out, and it's as the, you know, spring is now approaching, baseball is here. We really want a way to introduce our players to the fans to make sure that they are really getting excited about Rays baseball. And again, just being able to see them, meet them, hopefully have that connection that really will drive them into hopefully coming out and see us during the regular season.
Well, we certainly appreciate a few minutes. Good luck for fans who want to learn a little bit more about FanFest on the Rays website, raysbaseball.com. Where can they go?
Absolutely. They can go to raysbaseball.com/FanFest.
Eric, thank you very much.
Look forward to having you come out this year.
That's Eric Weisberg with a great overview of FanFest this Saturday, 11 to 4 at Tropicana Field. Now, the Rays also have a great social media zone, too, where you can have memorable interactions with our players. Again, find out more at raysbaseball.com/FanFest. Now, FanFest has many different layers, with family fun a big part, but also community. And we continue our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and we're now joined by the Senior Manager of Community Relations for the Rays. That's Jamie Patterson. Jamie, with FanFest coming this weekend, I know a big part of FanFest is community. So what impact does FanFest have on what you can do, and who does it benefit?
Yeah, definitely. We are going to have a lot of our Rays community partners out at FanFest this year. The wristband passes, all the proceeds from those are going to benefit ALS Association, Florida Chapter, who are big partners of ours in the community. We also will have our Rays Charity Yard Sale, the fifth annual Rays Charity Yard Sale, as well as the Rays Charity Clubhouse Corner. And we also will have a few of our community partners out around FanFest helping to raise awareness for their cause and promote events that they have coming up. So we're really excited to partner with a lot of great community groups for this year's FanFest.
Now, you mentioned yard sale. Most of us know what our own yard sales look like or something in our community that we live in. But give us an idea what a Rays community yard sale is, what types of things are included.
Well, the Rays charity yard sale is... it's really what you would think of any other yard sale, garage sale would be, is, you know, we're cleaning out our closets, we're cleaning out our storage areas and come across, you know, past giveaways, past jerseys and hats and T-shirts and autographed memorabilia from players and coaches who have moved on to other teams or have retired. So that is really a lot of what the yard sale in the clubhouse corner have to offer. And they're at discounted prices and definitely collectible items and things that you can't find anywhere else here at the ballpark or anywhere.
All of the money from that goes to the foundation, which funds all kinds of great initiatives throughout Tampa Bay.
Correct. So all the proceeds from the Rays Charity Yard Sale and the Rays Clubhouse Corner are going to benefit the Rays Baseball Foundation, which is our mission, is to support youth and education programs throughout Tampa Bay. So all the funds raised go back out into the community to provide scholarships, help us execute our programs, including Meeting with the Rays, our Community Fund Grant Program, and other great initiatives that the foundation works with.
Some of our fans who come to FanFest will have been there several times. Some may be there for the first time. So where do we find these various areas within Tropicana Field on the day for FanFest this coming Saturday?
We're doing things a little bit differently this year, and that the Rays Charity Yard Sale is still going to be in its home in the 162 Landing. But we've also separated into a separate area in center field called the Rays Charity Clubhouse Corner. So the Clubhouse Corner is going to house all of our team-issued apparel, autographed memorabilia, the mystery grab bags, and specifically it's going to have a unique area with all items featuring Don Zimmer, who was our former special advisor who we lost last year. All the proceeds from those items specifically are going to benefit our Don Zimmer Memorial Scholarship Fund. So we want to make sure that fans visit both areas, the Rays Charity Clubhouse Corner and Center Field, which will have all of our autographed memorabilia and team issued items, and then also the Rays Charity Yard Sale, which will be our giveaways and T-shirts and hats and all of those fun things that you can find here at the ballpark.
Great that you guys are having a section to recognize him. I know it will mean a great deal to our fans. How important was it to do something like this? Because we are still less than a year since his passing.
It was very important to the team to make sure that we found a way to honor Zim's memory and the impact that he had not only on the game of baseball, but in the community in Tampa Bay. So we found the best way to do that was to create a scholarship fund through the Clearwater for Youth program. We're going to be giving away $5,000 a year till the end of time to a student that exemplifies the passion and community impact and just love for the game and love for life that Mr. Zimmer had.
Great stuff, Jamie. Thanks very much for a few minutes, and we'll see you at FanFest.
See you there.
That's Senior Manager of Community Relations, Jamie Patterson, on some of the great ways community organizations benefit from this Saturday's FanFest at Tropicana Field. Coming up, what's going on in Port Charlotte? Find out right after this.
Swing and a high fly ball, center field and deep.
Raise up with us on Saturday, February 21st at Rays Fan Fest, presented by Tampa Bay Times. Admission and parking are free. Enjoy interactive activities with your favorite Rays players and more. Gates open at 11 a.m., so show up early and raise up all day. Visit RaysBaseball.com/FanFest for details. Raise up.
Welcome back to our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. While many in the Rays front office get ready for FanFest, the Rays clubhouse staff all are down in Port Charlotte as players start trickling in.
It's time to go inside the operating room and take a look at Rays baseball operations.
Chris Westmoreland, director of team travel and clubhouse operations, has been with the Rays for 13 years. I chatted with Westy on truck day, which is when the equipment is loaded out and sent down to Port Charlotte, and he gave me some perspective on what's done leading up to and at spring training.
You know, everyone looks at the field and they see nine guys out there, but you gotta be ready for 25 plus people coming up and plus backups and things like that. So there's a lot more equipment and uniforms and things involved than people think.
Give our fans an idea of how much you bring down to Port Charlotte and what's entailed, what's included.
Well, actually, over the years, we've somewhat streamlined the process. You know, we're down to 2 26-foot trucks. Transport services here helps us every year. They've been with us since inception. But, you know, a lot of the teams use a semi to get their things down to spring training. So we somewhat streamlined it. It helps that we're an hour and a half away as well. But some of the things, you know, that the fans love to hear is baseball bats. You know, we have 50 dozen that we order in spring training. Baseballs alone are 600 dozen. Sunflower seeds, 2 pallets we go through. Bubble gum, 2 pallets. Uniforms, you know, we'll have anywhere from 300 to 500 pair of pants in spring training. So, I mean, those numbers intrigue a lot of people, but that's, like I was telling the guys earlier, it's a small part of what we do every year.
Give our fans an idea what you do additionally to prepare and how, you know, difficult it is to put all of spring training together.
Well, with my new position in charge of the travel as well, I mean, along with the clubhouse, I mean, besides the moving of all the equipment, getting these guys down here, helping them find housing, you know, getting them into hotels if they're going to stay in the hotel, organize their flights and getting them down here. That's just some other things that we've never really talked about that a lot of people don't think of. But, you know, guys use rental cars and they ship their trucks and vehicles and things like that.
With the roster changing over as much as it did everything kind of become magnified, or do you have that many more people to worry about or take care of?
You know, we've always ordered, you know, new items for everybody, but this is intriguing in that we've never had so much change. You know, in the last nine seasons, we've been lucky without much change at all. And now I was telling someone earlier that we're like everybody else now. So we have the change in administration and our manager and some of our players. But with that comes excitement. You know, you get to know new guys. And Kevin Cash, a great guy. He was a player for us here. And just getting to know, you know, the things that he wants to do and the things he wants to enforce around here is exciting.
And how about the players, getting them prepared for kind of a new regime? And some of these guys have never been even to Florida for spring training.
Yeah, I've talked to a lot of the new players, and what I'm finding is they're really excited about, I think, not only, you know, coming to Florida, a lot of them from Arizona for spring training, but just Tampa Bay. I mean, we've got a great reputation out there, whether it's the atmosphere in the clubhouse or administration, you know, all of that's been mentioned. So it's exciting to hear from the new players coming in, you know, in their voice, the excitement.
That's Chris Westmoreland, director of team travel and clubhouse operations, now in Port Charlotte. Speaking of Port Charlotte, our next guest will be there on Thursday.
Time now to head up to the press box.
We continue our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and boy, it's great that we're getting things started. We have already with Countdown to Opening Day, and FanFest, of course, is this coming weekend, and joining us, one of the Voices of the Rays, coming up on year 11. Dave Wills, good to have you back on.
Great to be back on, Neil. Thanks for having me.
The last Countdown to Opening Day show was certainly an interesting one. Matt Silverman and Evan Longoria. Let's start with Matt. What were your biggest takeaways from hearing Matt and his interpretation of the offseason?
Well, you know, again, I think what I've been most impressed with Matt is just hearing from a couple of different players. One, obviously, when we talked to Alex Dobb a couple of weeks ago, and then Evan yesterday or back on Thursday. You know, the thing with both of those guys is that they said that there's been an open dialogue with Matt. I'm not saying that there wasn't with Andrew. And as a matter of fact, as Evan said on Thursday night, you know, Matt's in a tough spot. He might be replacing one of the premier GMs of recent times in Major League Baseball. But, you know, he's finding out from inside the clubhouse what's going on, what they feel that might need to have been changed. And, you know, I think that the thing is with Matt is that he really truly believes that while there has been some addition by subtraction, there's been some addition by addition. I think we've got a much more physical bullpen. We've been talking about that a lot this offseason, and I think we've also been able to add a couple of interesting pieces to our offense because, let's face it, Neil, I'm sure you know you had to deal with it a few times during the postgame show. We talked about it a lot during the games. I thought our lineup became very, very one-dimensional, and for the most part, especially early on last year, which I think set the tone for the season. I think there were times where Joe was kind of a handcuff as to what he could do toward the end of the game because we did not have the flexibility that we usually have within the Tampa Bay Rays. So I think Matt addressed that. I think he feels like we've got guys who can play a number of different positions, and I think he feels like we've got a deeper lineup 1 through 9 where, you know, won't be just dependent on a couple, 2 or 3 guys getting hit. So that's not to say we're the 27 Yankees, far from it, but I think that again, I think what we learned last year was that you need some versatility throughout the lineup, and I think we have that both in the everyday lineup, whatever that may be, and also coming off the bench.
Yeah, one of the other things, and you touched on it, you know, the getting input from lots of guys. The big quote I took away from Matt was saying it's a we organization, and not that it was an I organization, but the way he said it and the way he put it, I thought, you know, really stuck with me. Did you feel the same?
Yeah, you know, and again, I think that we're in a little bit of a different situation. Obviously, you know, some of the people that were here in the front office and, you know, obviously Joe Maddon, they built up a bit of cachet that, you know, maybe you can lean a little bit toward after 7, 8, 9 years of doing something where you can say, all right, well, it's worked for me in the past. It should work for me again. But, you know, there's the thing that I've been saying, and I know that people look at it maybe as semantics or maybe I'm trying to, you know, cover up some things, but I look at this season as we've kind of hit the refresh button. You do that to your computer, to your laptop. Sometimes you know, you have to reset your iPad or iPhone, whatever the case may be. And I think that's exactly what the Rays have done. We still have the core, we still have the machine there, but we've kind of hit the refresh button to turn things around, hopefully. And you know, with Matt, he knows that it's going to be more than just him, that it's going to be more than just Kevin Cash. It's going to be up to the coaches. It's going to be up to the players. It's going to be up to the staff. You know, Eric Neander and also Chaim Bloom and everybody within baseball operations, even on the scouting side, to be a little bit better than we were last year in order to get beyond a 77-win season, which was not very Rays-like here, especially over the last 7 or 8 years.
And speaking of hitting the refresh button, really, that was probably the keynote message from Evan Longoria.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of interesting to hear from Evan. And, you know, Evan, as we said, I mean, you know, sometimes we have a tendency to put words into Evan's mouth because, you know, he is such a key component to this team. But it was nice to hear him talk about how he does feel like he has to be the guy to lead the way offensively. And maybe sometimes he puts a little bit too much pressure on himself. You know, he is that guy in the lineup. He's the guy in the lineup that could take a little pressure off the guys in front of him. If he's swinging the bat very, very well, and can take some pressure off the guys below him if he's swinging the bat very well. Because you know, I never really thought about it this way. You know, in Little League, in Pony League, in high school, and maybe even in college, I know that I used to think, well, hey, if our best players have trouble hitting this guy, what's the rest of our guys going to do? And I really didn't think that that fit at the big league level until I heard a couple people last year say that. And, you know, both players and coaches, and even manager Joe Maddon at the time. So, you know, I think he at times puts a little too much pressure on himself. You know, you even heard him during the show on Thursday night saying that he's reading some motivational and self-help books kind of to get him prepared for this season. So, you know, he knows the importance of what he brings to the lineup. But I just hope that he goes up there and relaxes and doesn't try to do too much because, again, I think we saw the last couple months of last year, he's a run producer. And I think he started to get his strike zone a little bit more in order. And it wasn't because anybody around him was hitting. As a matter of fact, if you remember, and I'm sure you do, Neil, that for most of the year it was like he and Loney were neck and neck in RBI. And then at the end of the year, Loney was nowhere to be found next to Evan. So Evan picked it up a couple of notches and started to come through in RBI situations. And he knows how important those are for the Rays because we're going to be a team that might be a little run challenged at times.
And certainly we're looking forward to seeing him on the field. Again, workouts for the pitchers and catchers begin less than a week from now. What are the things that you're going to watch for in spring training, Dave?
Well, you know, again, obviously I think, you know, it's one of the oldest adages. In football, they always talk about how games are won and lost in the trenches where, you know, the defensive line and the offensive line set the tone for games. I think for baseball, it's up the middle. I think that I'm going to be interested to see how our catchers do. I think that has been a situation where we have been below average for the last couple of years. Maybe not necessarily when it comes to the pitch framing or whatever the case may be, but, you know, in stopping the opponent's running game, I don't think we've been as good as we could be. I think in keeping balls around home plate, I think we can be better, and hopefully the catching core will be an improvement over what we had last year. Obviously, our pitching, I think, is going to be a strength, but then how's our middle infield going to take shape? I'm interested to see what Tim Beckham brings to the table. This spring training. I think that, you know, again, he's had a couple of chances, and now he knows that this might be his best chance at getting to the big leagues and staying in the big leagues. And how does Gruber Cabrera fit in? And then up the middle. You keep going up the middle, and who's going to be our center fielder? Is it going to be Desmond Jennings? Is he going to finally be the kind of difference maker that we're looking for? Or will Kevin Kiermaier make that adjustment and become a very good and, you know, center fielder and also an everyday player? So I think, to me, one of the focus for me during this spring training will be up the middle. If championship teams are strong up the middle, and the Rays have some improvement to do to be strong up the middle, both offensively. And let's face it, defensively last year, we weren't as good as we needed to be either.
Mm-hmm. Well said. And I think a lot of us are going to be watching some similar things as we go through spring training. This weekend, of course, the fans will get a chance to engage with you at FanFest over at Tropicana Field from 11 to 4. What do you most look forward to regarding FanFest?
Well, it's just the interaction with the fans. Again, that was going back to 2005, that was the first time I met Andy. Well, one of the first times I met Andy, and that was our first chance to interact with the fans. And, you know, I think obviously with Twitter and Facebook and a few other things over the last 2 years, we've stayed in touch with our fans. And, you know, obviously in the postgame show where you take the phone calls, as much as any team in Major League Baseball, but it's still nice to shake hands, take some pictures, and find out what's on their mind, you know, as we go into this 2015 season. I think, you know, again, you find out what these people are thinking about some of the off-season moves. I think you start finding out whether they're optimistic or pessimistic. I know that last year we were shaking a lot of people's hands, and they felt that we'd be going to the postseason, maybe, you know, getting to the World Series. So I'm anxious to hear from the fans how they feel this offseason went. Yes, there's been all kinds of change. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes change is good, and sometimes it isn't. But I think that, as I've said many, many times, we're going to miss some of the guys that aren't here any longer. But I think there is a freshness about this club, and I'm really, really excited to start talking about it. We have for the past couple of weeks on the Countdown to Opening Day show. We have on your podcast all offseason long. But really, I'm looking forward to talking to the fans about it. We have some interactive sessions where I think we'll be hosting things on our Pepsi stage, where I know I'll be talking with Matt Sidlin and Brian Aldin. I know that you and Andy have some segments as well during Saturday. So, again, it's just a chance to mingle with the fans, find out where they're at, and maybe, you know, get them. Maybe this is the year we have to get them pumped up a little more for the season because, again, it's been an upheaval during this offseason that we haven't seen in quite some time around it.
And beyond that, fans actually can engage with you at one of the games that they're going to be on the concourse. Let our fans know about you've lent your voice. It's I don't know if it's quite, you know, like the Madden game, but Chris Miller and I, we all took a shot at it. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, really? I didn't know the game was ready to go already.
So, yeah.
No, it should be, it's you know, a little one-on-one home run derby kind of thing, and you'll have a chance to, you know, hit and hopefully you do hit and drive a few over the wall. And I said this during our countdown to opening day show, I wanted to call a few more home runs. Well, I guess on the concourse I will be calling a few more home runs because you'll have a chance to swing and get a little play-by-play while it's going on. And then if you don't want to play a game, you can do some target practice or a home run derby, one of those things. So it sounds to me like it's very, very good interactive game, and I've always talked a better game than I've played it. So hopefully I'll get a chance of trying it out myself.
Well, the fans who don't play it well, they'll get mocked by you too, so they'll enjoy that as well, as I did.
A little bit of everything, indeed.
Dave, good stuff. We'll see you at FanFest.
All right, Neil. Thank you.
That's Dave Wills in a segment we like to call From the Press Box. Now, Dave mentioned he's interested in seeing how the middle infielders fare. Find out about the infielders from someone who works with them in just a moment.
Kevin Kiermaier made a name with his exciting play in the outfield last season. And now, you can get the first Kiermaier bobblehead with the purchase of a Rays FanFest Flex Pack. These packs allow you to select any 3, 6, or 9 games and start at just $59. Plus, receive great member benefits at Rays FanFest on February 21st. Pick up your Flex Packs and lock in seats to all the biggest games now. Call 888-FAN-RAYS or visit RaysBaseball.com. Raise up.
Welcome back. You're listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. I'm Neil Solons. One of the big battles in spring training will be on the middle of the diamond, and someone who will spend plenty of time working with the infielders is new bench coach of the Rays, Tom Foley. And I spoke with Tom initially about the preparation for spring training.
It really hasn't changed from year to year. We're going to do some things that are a little bit different in the schedule with when full squad gets here, but it's basically the same thing. Get them ready to play the games and make sure everybody stays healthy during that period of time. So, make sure the pitchers get their bullpens in, the catchers get their work, and everybody gets their ground balls and try to get the soreness out of their legs before the game starts, before we start running some bases. So, you go into every camp with the same thing. There's no secrets of how you get to where you need to be when the games start.
I'm sure that you got into a fairly regular routine the last several years, though, with a new manager now. How much extra communication went on, let's say, in the month of December or January to get ready for February and spring training?
Well, I don't think there's going to be much change. With what we did with Joe here, it was just go get him. Joe didn't mess with the schedule, and he knew what was going to be out on the field, and when he wanted to get involved, he got involved. Kevin obviously will be a little bit more involved being here for the first year, and if he wants some changes along the way, we'll do it. But everything is just the normal spring training.
The change, I guess, for you is not only the new role, but also all the different middle infielders. How anxious are you to kind of get started and get a feel for some of these guys?
Well, yeah, I'd like to see him today, but that's not possible. But we do have a whole new set of middle infielders to look at. With the exception of Franklin and Forsythe and Beckham being in the mix now. So, and we know Cabrera, what he can do, but still like to take a look at him. But we do have a couple new guys, and we need to figure out, where we're at with them. They're going to get a lot of playing time in spring training because we need to look at them. They're going to get a lot of at-bats too, same way. We've already discussed that. So, there's nothing really set in stone. And we'll take a good look at each and every guy and let the powers to be go ahead and make the decisions.
You mentioned Beckham being back, a guy you're familiar with. He missed most of last year due to injury, and I know he spent a lot of time here in Tampa Bay in the offseason. What have you seen? Because he's probably one of the few guys who's been working out here who's a middle infielder.
I think he's coming into this year with a real good mindset. Obviously things didn't work out the last couple of years with injuries and so forth, but he's here now. He's been here the whole time, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. He's been out here. And, in fact, I think they hit Tuesday and Thursday, too, so the whole week. But he's working hard. We don't have the field, but we go out in the outfield and hit him some ground balls. He's moving great. I don't think there's any anything that's going to hold him back this year physically. Mentally, he's in the right frame of mind. So I look for him spring training to make a big push.
Well, good stuff. We look forward to seeing you down in Port Charlotte.
Yeah, can't wait to get there. Thanks.
That's Tom Foley, the new bench coach of the Tampa Bay Rays, longtime third base coach prior to that. Hey, don't forget to tune in this Thursday for the next Countdown to Opening Day show from 7 to 8 p.m. at Hooters in Port Charlotte. Join Dave and Andy live on 620 WDAE and the Rays Radio Network. That show also will be posted as a podcast on Friday if you happen to miss it. Remember, you also can continue to read our blog, raysradio.moblogs.com, and you can follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio. Thanks for joining us, and we'll speak with you next from Port Charlotte at spring training, and we hope to see you at FanFest.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com or follow us on Twitter at Rays Radio.